Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to the season premiere, the fourth season premiere of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats. As always, I am your host, Adam, and again, for another year, I never miss him. Your favorite co-hoster, Mr. Jeremy Boucher, is with me.
Hello, ladies. No, it is great to be back in Wildcast Studios. I miss this place very much. It seems like it was just yesterday that we were in this humbled abode of yours.
Yes.
But it's good to be back. We are bubbles. We are in each other's bubbles now. We are still physically distancing.
Yep.
Ready to kick off this season.
Like the intro, who thought we'd be here, right? Not us. This is, I don't think a lot of people thought we were going to get hockey this early. I think you and I both thought maybe November. But how's your summer been, man? We got the NHL back, NBA back. You've been traveling all over the Atlantic bubble. But how you been?
Summer was good. Just seen a lot of things. Saw some people. It's crazy that we're watching NHL playoffs in August.
Some of us are, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's when you know, that's what happens when you get eliminated by a team that's not supposed to be in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Other than that, kind of just been hanging around and, you know, refreshing Twitter every so often to see if there's any updates on these sporting events that are upcoming, and, you know, start work again soon. And it's going to be good to get back into a routine and back to the new normal, as people are calling it these days.
It does feel a little bit normal. I mean, I think Pat had the tweet. NHL playoffs started, the NBA playoffs started about a week after that. That's a little bit normal. Getting back to work, I'm finally back to work after taking, basically the year off. But I have been living through you as you're going to Nova Scotia and Charlottetown, and we haven't gone anywhere, to be honest, but, I mean, I'm able to live through your social medias.
I think I like to travel, I like to drive.
Yeah.
It's my favorite part of this whole Atlantic bubble is having to register to get back into my own province. and then you get to the border and they don't even ask you for any ID.
No.
So it's, they just see your New Brunswick license plate or New Brunswick registration sticker and just wave you on in
It's kind of funny. I said this to Layla before. I'm like, we go to a store and they're like, have you been here? Have you been done this? Have you, like, all the questions? I take great pride in absolutely saying no to every single, have you been to Nova Scotia? Have you known anybody? Nope. It's like a sense of pride that I haven't known anybody or been anywhere.
Yeah. I answer those questions periodically or frequently, I should say, because I'm at the liquor store every 2 days. So that's also been in my summer,
So we are back to normal then.
Frequent visits to the liquor store. Went to PEI last, I don't know if it was last weekend, Sunday.
Yep.
Sunday went to PEI, and once he got over the bridge, that was probably the longest interaction with a conservation officer, or whatever you want to call themselves, that we've ever had. They're literally just grilling with questions. I had my form all filled out, and they were still asking me the questions that were on the form. So they're clearly taking things very serious over there, and as they should. It's an island, right?
Yeah.
You know, an outbreak can be can get pretty bad, given the size of the island. And but no, you go to Nova Scotia, and they're like, "Oh, have you been outside of the Atlantic provinces in last 14 days?" No, okay, go ahead. Like that's it.
Yeah.
And in New Brunswick, they just
border waits aren't too bad.
No, the first day of the bubble. July 3rd, I think it was.
I had the idea to leave at like 11 and get to Charlottetown, like the bridge at midnight. And I thought I'd be smart. And I'm like looking at it going, nope, we still would have been waiting for forever if we'd got up at midnight. And
just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like we went to Halifax on that first day, and Some people might have seen me on CTV News. But we waited at the border for half an hour. And there were some people from Nova Scotia coming into New Brunswick that were waiting there for hours. I know someone that drove from Halifax to Riverview, and it took them 6 hours.
Jeez.
And so, you know, fortunately, they've figured all that out. But yeah, border waits are not that bad right now. They've very, very, very much improved.
Yeah, and you know what? They've done a great job at making sure everyone's, you know, wearing masks and doing what we need to do. And because of that, well, we might as well just get to the news of why we're back. So let's get no quick question. We'll get to the news and notes.
News and notes from around the league.
So, yeah, there's the only news of the league. The QMJHL is returning to play. That's why we're here. Preseason camps open August 30th. Six preseason games and then regular season October 1st. And I'm sure you've read it everywhere. If you haven't,
Have you been and yeah, what exactly. are you doing with your life?
And welcome to the show. We're going to keep you updated right now. Things are going to look drastically different. A season unlike any others, I've said a few times. They're moving all the teams into three divisions of six. So obviously Moncton's going to play the Maritime Division, St. John, Bathurst, Halifax, Cape Breton, and Charlottetown. The East Division will now be Baie-Comeau, Chicoutimi, Quebec, Rimouski, Shawinigan, and Victoriaville. And the West will now be Blainville, Drummondville, Gatineau, Rennes, Sherbrooke, and Val-d'Or. The one major negative of this, we don't get Pelts one last time. 60 games instead of 68. Playoff format, we got no idea until December, and we're not sure on numbers inside the Avenir Center. So I ask you, Jeremy, your thoughts on this return to play idea. Not idea, returning to play.
Concept.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it and I don't like it. I like it because...
Because you came up with it? Early on last season, you were like, you know, maybe they go division format.
I mentioned that on the... on the podcast, and it was on with Dobson on the Sports Quarantine TV. I did mention that, so clearly they've been... they listen to me. No, I'm sure they had the idea. I'm sure they had the idea. A
little pat on the back there.
I mean, it just seemed like the right thing to do. Yep. Yes, it's going to suck that, you know, we're not going to get to see some of the Quebec teams. And yeah, it's probably going to get boring watching the same teams over and over and over again. But, you know, we have any other season, we have rivalry week, we have rivalry season. So it's a good... it's a nice idea. I like that. The whole, you know, attendance thing, I think what I tweeted was, I think what we're going to be experiencing is that, you know, season ticket holders are going to be as if they struck gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I don't know if there's going to be, you know, general public, allowed in these games. St. John announced that their capacity is going to be 25%. I don't know how that figures into, you know, their season ticket holder numbers compared to, you know, will that allow general public into the arena? Don't know. Cause I don't know how much, you know, how many season ticket holders they have. So that's to be determined. I think Moncton had something like 2,700 season ticket holders or something like that.
Which is pretty
close
to what, 22 or 25%. And yeah, it's much easier to track. Like, you're going to have to trace this.
That's a big part of it, too.
You can't just have Jane Doe and John Doe walking up at 6:45 to get a ticket, because you really won't be able to track it, right? You'll know who's got the season tickets. You know who's sitting together. I mean, you'll be going 6 feet apart, I would imagine. But if a family of four buys them while they're in their bubble. So it's... You're gonna have different seats, and people are not gonna really like that a whole lot, I don't think.
It could be, you know, it's gonna be a different viewpoint for a lot of these, a lot of season ticket holders, because, you know, a good portion of them, you know, sit behind the benches, sit behind the penalty boxes, and that's just not gonna be allowed. They're gonna have to be scattered out around the rink. You know, how they manage to figure out who sits where. Obviously, it's going to be the fans' choice. Some may like it, some may not. You know, that may, you know, lower their season ticket renewals, because they haven't even released their...
No, we got no idea.
because, I mean, we know Bathurst put something out, St. John put something out. St. John increased their season ticket holder prices. So, I mean, is that, you know, is that their way of trying to recuperate some costs? You know, very well could be. You know, we don't have pricing yet for Moncton. You know, we don't have, you know, how many capacity, what the capacity is going to be like. So hopefully by the, you know, this week we'll have some, something will be released, because, you know, it's getting down to crunch time here. Like,
yeah, you got to renew your tickets. Like, there's over a month left.
You got, October 1st, you got a month and a half left, less than that, before, you know, before the first game in the rink. And, you know, you got some of the guys already quarantining downtown, and they're probably, you know, scratching or itching. What's
rare to go?
Rare. Something about their booties. Shaking in their booties.
Yeah.
that's what I was looking for. Shaking in their boobies. Boobies. Boobies.
Welcome back. It's been a while. I'm kind of with you. I think, you know, 1 year of rivalry, depending on what the playoff format is, it's basically St. John, Charlottetown, and everybody else. So of those four teams, anything can happen. Anybody can move. You're going to have basically four teams almost at the same level. So, I mean, as if the rivalry weekend isn't bad enough, or some of the rivalries aren't, they're just going to grow over the season. And, yeah, watching the same team over and over is going to be boring, but I'd rather watch the same five teams over and over again than not be able to watch any hockey at all. And
that's,
so
that's kind of where I was going with my point, too. Like, I'd rather be, you know, if I'm permitted, right, into the arena, I'd rather be watching hockey than not having any hockey at all. That's the key thing. And, you know, kudos to the Q, because, you know, things are a little different out west in Ontario.
Well, and that, right? And that has a lot to do with the fact that they've got American teams.
Yeah.
And now the WHL, I don't know what they're thinking. Like, I mean, they're playing December 1st, like the OHL, but I don't, they can go with the same strategy that the Q is going, because they've got five American, like they've actually got an American division that they've had forever. So teams go out on a 2 week vacation. They go to the US, they play a few teams in Kelowna, then they come, or in BC, like Kelowna and Kamloops kind of thing. And then they come home. The OHL's only got three, I think, and they're not all in the same Saginaw, Flint, and Erie.
Is that what it is?
I believe
Saginaw,
so.
Saginaw, Flint, and Erie. Yeah.
And they're not all in the same division. So
can you do a three-team? Well, they are all in the Western Conference.
They're all in the same division, though, I wonder.
I mean, I'm sure you could.
Because they might have to come. They might have to play, like, share an arena for a little while till, like, right? Maybe?
It would be a good concept. I mean, the whole, I mean, can you do a three-team division?
Probably not.
You could, but it would, I mean, but for how long? Like, that's, you know, a three-team division for the entire season?
Because they're going to play 64 again. Like, they're going full season after December 1st, which the other question I was going to ask you, we're starting October 1st. They're not starting until December 1st. You saw a lot of Twitter people from, you know, west of Quebec that don't understand how this league works, thinking we have to wait for them. Is this maybe helpful if something goes wrong, the league can postpone for a little while, give them some time? Because right now, by the time our league ends, there's going to be a month before the Memorial Cup, and the other teams are still going to be playing. So this is kind of a preventative measure as well if they have to postpone for 2 weeks or whatever, correct?
Absolutely, and that's exactly why they're doing it, is in case there is the need to postpone games, they've got, you know, 2 months of
leeway,
wiggle room, to work with. So it was very smart on their part to do that, you know, obviously the owners agreed that was the best way to go. We've also know that the schedule here is going to be, there's not going to be any weeknight games. It's going to be strictly, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, people say, you know, how is the OHL and the WHL going to catch up if they're starting 2 months later? Well, you know, they play their weeknight games, and, you know, by mid, I guess our seasons usually end mid-March. I don't know if they'd be caught up by then, but
pretty close.
Pretty close. And
yeah, four games and five nights in the other leagues, maybe.
Yeah, and it's and they can catch up. Like they can do like once their playoffs start, you know, if they can do, they can do best of fives instead of best of sevens. Yeah. You know, they can tweak it to make sure that, you know, is it going to be an unfair? Is it unfair that a Q team will have a month off?
You can look at it both ways. They're either going to be rusty or they're going to be rested, yeah. Right? So,
and we don't even know if. Like, is the WH, is this just to, are they playing this out so that all the teams in the Memorial Cup have a month off? Like, at the end of the day, are all three leagues going to be caught up on their schedules and then it's just going to be a month off?
Who knows?
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's, you know.
We don't even know where the Memorial Cup is. Well, it's either in Sioux or Oshawa, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Oshawa. They seem to have a better team. yep. So we don't even know this stuff. Like this is way ahead of our.
Let's just get the puck drop and we'll figure out the playoff format. Like I said, in December. The other bit of news, 20s, maybe an overage 20 in the CHL. I believe the Q is asked. Oh, the CHL in general has asked the NHL about that. I mean, the NHL might not start. They're kind of. I thought I saw something December 1st. Me personally, I don't think we're going to see a 420 in the league, in the CHL. I think, I mean, if guys are coming back, they might just be coming back for 2 months. So it's pretty tough to take a spot from a 16-year-old for 2 months because you can't really move them if nobody's going to give up any value for a guy that's going to be on your team for 2 months. But that's not saying everyone will. I mean, if Detroit wants Mikhaizik to come back and play in the queue for a full year, he's coming back to play a full year. Mm-hmm. He's not leaving in the start of December. And, you know, I'm not saying he's coming back. That's just one example. The Ducks with Grew as well. The Oilers with Rodrigue. But I just, for me, I don't see it happening in the CHL because American teams are going to be at that December 1st line. So they might not even get their 20s back.
I don't see it happening either. Part of me wondered, you know, when we first heard about that, that Liam Leonard trade, was that St. John, you know, kind of anticipating that rule coming into play. So I don't know what's, you know, how he's going to fit into their lineup because I, you know, they've got like Matt Gould and that American whose name is
escaping
18 letters long and Badamalenti, I think his name is, but you know, are they going to be allowed into, you know, into the league? That's another question. There is still a lot of question marks. And we're, you know, 2 weeks away from training camp.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just heard, you know, Americans aren't going to be allowed in the queue this year. Whether that's just first year Americans and they're going to allow returning players to into the league or if that's just all Americans. I don't know.
Badalamenti.
That's the, I knew it was some weird.
Good call.
So
still got it.
Another question mark to add to the long list already. And, you know, just glad that we're not the ones putting this plan together.
No,
because I think I'd probably come home every night and drink myself to sleep. Guy, I wouldn't understand.
I think you go from liquor store every two nights to maybe liquor store every night.
Every 2 hours.
Yeah, so good on Mr. Couteau and the other governors and owners in this league and as well all the government officials and frontline officials getting this thing going. All right, well, that's basically some of the big news. The other big news is training camp will kick off in Moncton August 30th at the Avenir Center. Like you just heard Jeremy say, the Liam Leonard trade. He was sent to St. John for Connor Richard, famous one-for-one deal, as they say. So
Bob McKenzie.
Yeah, Bob McKenzie, the one-for-one deal. So we do have some training camp. We don't have a roster yet. I've seen some teams come out. I think Bathurst came out with one. St. John came out with one.
Halifax.
Charlottetown.
I think Cape Sherbrooke was
way ahead
2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
Blainville came out with theirs. Victoriaville. So they're
slowly trickling in.
Yeah,
but it's among the Wildcats,
so you probably won't get ours until the minute the training camp opens.
Yeah, no, Cape Breton and Moncton's all that's left. But like Neil stated in his article, it's going to be a very different camp. Richie and his staff have narrowed the list down to 34, not including Euros, as opposed to the 50 or 60 players that usually come to camp. So that means this thing's going to be, what's the word I want to find? Important? That's not the word, but that's the only thing I can think of right out of the gate. Like, and there's a lot of spots up for grabs. This isn't like previous years where, you know, there's three or four extra spots. There's maybe four or five that are locked in, and that's just the returning guys. Maybe six total. Hudson, Lund Cornish, Stewart, DeJong, and Spence. That's five. Oh, Daou, six.
Foreman,
yeah. Stewart.
Like, it's...
There's not a lot is what I'm trying to get at. Like,
yeah, and you got to think, like, this is obviously going to be a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
And so with it being a rebuilding year, you know, if you have a 19-year-old on the bubble, you're probably going to take the younger player. So, I mean, those are, you know, Jacob Stewart and Kyle Foreman are two guys that you might want to keep an eye on, because they're going to, you know, in my opinion, their jobs aren't secure. You know, there's some, you know, young guys that are going to want to come to Moncton, and, you know, do you think they want to quarantine for 14 days only have to go right back home? No, they're going to want to come here and, you know, get a job. And,
they've seen they know what's going on. They've seen the roster. They've seen, mm-hmm. you know, how all in they went. So they already know there's a shot if they just work hard, right?
It's going to take a lot of hard work. Like, it's, you know, it's going to be tough. It's a guy could probably tell you right now who the 34 are going to be. But I'll probably be wrong by a couple. Like, it's, you can kind of, I mean, you got
a professional transition. We can get into it. If you got your,
you
got
to think they want the best 34.
Right.
Right. So, you know, all due respect to like a player like Josh Crooks, you know, he's a 14th round pick. He's not going to get invited to training camp.
Not this one. I think he would have got, if this was a regular year,
a regular training camp. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but you already, basically what they've done is they've just taken the 60 they would have had and taken the best 34 that, you know, the last 2 weeks of training camp. Mm-hmm. This is basically your last 2 weeks of training camp roster that's going to be here for the full year. We're not taking a shot at Crooks by any means. He would have got invited on a full camp.
Yeah, and like another one, like it's like it, all the late ground guys, like I gotta get his name out there because I like it, Logan Nutbrown. you know, another situation where if this was a 60, you know, a 55, 60 guy training camp, he's invited.
Yeah.
But that's not the case this year. You want to bring the guys who have the absolute best chance of making your team. You know, you want someone who, if you look at your depth chart, you know, is he going to fit in this year, or is he someone that's, you know, you look at the defense, is he going to get into in the top eight, or is he someone that's kind of in the, you know, 10 to 14 range? You're not going to invite 14 defensemen, right?
No.
And I think this is going to make it, is it going to make it easier for cuts, or is it going to make it harder for cuts? That's my question for you.
I think it's going to make it a little bit easier. I think because, like I just said, you've narrowed it down into that final 2 week roster. I think you'll really be able to see the guys that A, have worked all season or all off season to get ready. And I think you'll see the guys that just don't belong right now. And, you know, could they get 6-7 minutes? Yeah. They're going to make an impact with 6-7 minutes. Nah, I don't know. I think it makes it a little bit easier. If I'm being honest, because I think it really will separate who's been working hard in the off season and who's ready to make the leap.
So I also think it's easier because A, there's less guys. So you're not paying attention to two groups, right? There's there's one main group. These scrimmage games can be broken down into literally two teams, right? It can, and instead of having two teams on the ice and then one team in the stands watching, you've got all the guys on, you know, on the ice. I think it's not rocket science to figure out there's gonna be five goalies.
Yep.
You know, Lund Cornish, Husnik, Sheehan, Demadia, and Katz or Cates. We haven't really determined.
We're gonna go with Katz because we're the Wildcats. So I think it makes sense. So Katz.
I like that.
If he wants to chime in on social media and let us know how it's pronounced, that'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, defense, if you look at everybody, you know, all the teams who have released their rosters, these teams are anywhere between 10 and 13 defensemen. I mean, I'm not going to go and list all the 12 that I have, but I mean, you're going to have guys back like Spence and Stewart, and DeJong for sure, would be three. You look at Sam Dow, who made the team, you know, last season and then got sent back to junior A at Christmas
and played really well when he got in, right?
Yeah. Pavin, who, you know, probably with the exception of Hopkins, probably their top defensive prospect. Hopkins is another one.
Hopkins, yeah.
So I'm at what, six or seven already?
Yep, six.
And then, I mean, you usually carry eight guys. Don't count out Jeremy Berube, because for one thing, he had as a 16-year-old, had a really good camp. As a 17-year-old, had a bad camp. third time's a charm. So I
it's kind of like Mark Rumsey.
Yeah, I got to have him on my list. Yeah, yeah. For that reason. And then, you know, a free agent out of Ontario, Connor Olson, Francisco.
That's fun to say, Francisco.
Iacenza. Yeah. I mean, those are just a few names that I'll...
You didn't mention DeRozier.
DeRozier, he's on my list.
Is he?
He's there.
I think because he plays in Moncton, they've got a good eye on him. So does he need to come to camp again when they had him play some last year? You know, not a kind of a way to circumvent the 34. You've seen him play. He's going to be in your own backyard. Does he need to be at camp when you can bring somebody else in like Olsen or Iacenza to get a better look, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I had Thomas Darcy on the list as well. But
I think he could I do have him. So
we basically have the same list. I have DeRozier.
And Pilote. I have Pilote as well.
Yeah,
so.
I have Pavin.
Yeah, well,
so once you get into that, it's like you talked about. Are you in that top eight range, or are you in that 9 to 14, mm-hmm. and you might be here after Christmas?
And I think it's going to make it, just get back to what we said. Like, you can kind of look at that list and pick your eight guys. You know, it's unless someone comes out and really, really surprises. I think you can easily pick out your eight guys, seven or eight. Usually they would go with eight because still we don't know what's going to happen with Spence. Like, because NHL season is going to start in, what, December? Is he going to go to a training camp kind of thing with the Kings?
Maybe.
Who knows? So you'd have to have, you know, a few extra guys there. Look, I'm not going to list all the forwards. Because I have 18. If I list,
I have 19, but we have most of the
The
guys that were here last year are going to be here, and then you've got, you know, the top picks. You know, Rossi, Losing, Barbashev is obviously, and then it's just kind of. I mean, Kluche is going to be here. Connor Richards probably going to be here because he was acquired. You know, you can kind of gauge. I mean, you can go on the website and look at all the players that are listed on under roster. Some of the NHL guys aren't going to be here, but you can see a lot of guys and kind of make your own list. But yeah, it won't be I don't think it'll be a dumpster fire type year.
I'm not prepared to call it that.
No.
Like the
back half of the trade year, right?
It will be a tough season, but at the same time, I said the same thing about Drummondville last year.
Yeah.
Right. And so really anything can happen.
Yep.
We've got an NHL head coach, and thank God they brought back the entire coaching staff.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. I think having Dan Lacroix behind the bench, with this younger group, is really going to help. It's, you know, his experience, his expertise alone will get them a couple wins. He will outcoach you know, some of the Maritime coaches to pick up a few W's. There's no question about that.
Does this give you the feel of, I think it's 06-07, the year that nobody thought Moncton would do anything? Torchetti was behind the bench, took a group of young guys, and he was a pretty experienced coach at the time. You know, this could be that. Does this give you that kind of vibe, if everything goes right, kind of thing?
if everything goes right, yeah, they really because
that team played over expectations, as you've said many times.
They finished fourth overall in the league,
right?
But I think they were out. They got I think that's the year that they played Halifax in the first round, and they lost in game seven in overtime. It's coming in my mind right now. But
you keep talking. I'll fact check it.
I'm trying to think. It's
was that 06-07?
06-07. It was they lost in game seven against Halifax.
So they did in fact finish fourth overall, 39-25-4. Okay.
And I believe it was Ryan McCaskill who scored the overtime winning goal for Halifax.
All right.
I just this is just me.
This is literally off the top of his head, folks. Yeah. Eventually we'll get on YouTube so you can see if he actually does know this stuff, but
right, just game seven. I remember being in my dorm room in Charlottetown watching that game on Eastlink, and I think it was overtime of game seven. It was Ryan McCaskill that scored the win.
So they did lose in seven.
Okay,
3-2 in double overtime.
Okay,
and I'm just clicking on the game to find the winner. Ding, ding, ding!
Yes.
Ben McCaskill.
Yes. Oh, okay. There you go. I knew he was coming back. Again, probably one of the... I think I broke my dorm room window that night.
Do you know who the Moncton goaltender was?
By chance? Shane Owen?
No. Snyderman.
Oh, that's right. Jay Snyderman.
Snyderman? Snyderman.
he had a Spider-Man on his helmet.
Well, I would hope so.
Where was I going with Shane Owen? Was he 2010? I don't know. Anyways... Yeah, Jason. Yeah,
probably because he played when Ripa was injured for Memorial Cup.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well done, by the way. Well done. So,
yeah,
getting back to the original point, does this have that feel of that 06-07 season where an NHL coach bring the coaching staff back, a group that no one expects anything out of?
I think it's got that possibility. I also think that having your games against Maritime teams is also going to be a benefit to the Wildcats. Because, I mean, you know, Bathurst is going to be good, but I'm still not convinced that I still don't think they have that, the killer instinct,
right?
Of you know, having that learning to separating win. From the group, right?
Yeah, the learning to win kind of thing.
Yeah. Cape Breton's going to be taking a step back this year. Halifax is going to be a young group as well. So, I really think that, you know, these games against, you know, Bathurst and Halifax and Cape Breton are going to be winnable games, every time they play against each other. So St. John, I mean, they're going to be a tough team to beat. They're obviously going to be probably one of the top teams in the league this year. And you know, Charlottetown,
it's going to be right there with them.
When they acquired Colton Ellis, it was like when Moncton acquired Rodrigue. Like, that gets their fans excited.
Yeah.
And I think they've got Charlottetown's got a few more moves up their sleeve this season. So I think after Christmas you'll probably see Charlottetown and St. John start to run away with things a little bit, and then you'll have that cluster of the other teams, you know, kind of fighting tooth and nail for positioning. So, yeah, it's got that – look, they're not going to finish fourth overall like they did in 06 and 07. The only thing we can hope for is that they finish
– in a playoff spot?
Not just a playoff spot, but outside that lottery.
Yeah.
And anything outside of that lottery spot, which is the last to 14th?
Fifth. Oh, no. Last three is –
18, 17, 16, 15, 14.
Yeah.
So anything better than 14th overall, I think is a success to me.
Yeah. I said it before we started this thing. I mean, it's St. John, it's Charlottetown, and it's everybody else. Moncton, Bathurst, Halifax, and Cape Breton are all kind of in that same grouping. Finish outside of the lottery, really just show up every night, just compete, and you're going to get some surprise wins, obviously. You know, maybe you catch St. John on a back-to-back or something because they're going to be tough to beat all year. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think if we finish outside the lottery, I mean, since I've been here, I haven't not had playoff hockey. I mean, the COVID made that go away, But they've qualified for the playoffs every year since I've been here, so might as well keep that streak going. But it's a complete wide open year. Speaking of preseason, it starts September 1st, Charlottetown and Moncton, and then Moncton at Charlottetown, Moncton at Cape Breton at Moncton, Bathurst, Moncton, Moncton, St. John. So basically all the teams except for Halifax, but all the games are going to be on Moncton's YouTube channel. So at least we get to see it. It won't be incomplete.
Yeah, that's I like that.
Hopefully we get some training camp scrimmages and some stuff during the weeks on the YouTube channel as well. But
I like that they're going to, you know, show those games on YouTube. Charlottetown's going to do the same thing. So that game on the 3rd of September we'll be able to tune into as well. I hope all the other teams kind of follow suit.
Yep.
And
you kind of have to with no fans. It's, yeah. Your social media presence and your coverage is really going to have to step up.
See, I wasn't a big fan of that when I heard that they weren't going to have fans at the preseason games. Because it's at the Avenir Center, so it's there's more room to distance, and why can we have fans for the regular season, not the preseason? It kind of was a little disappointing, but
I got to feel it's time. I don't think they thought the season was going to happen, and then to put all the protocols in place in what 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks is awfully tough. And you know, certain fans of this team, they want to stick together as a group. They go as a group. They, you know, you might not always get that, especially preseason, right? So I'm with you. I wish we could go into the rink and watch something.
We just have to live with it. I just hope I can get into some games. Another thing is that whole webcast thing.
Apparently it's Verizon.
It's Verizon. Yeah, that's what, there's been no official announcement, but God bless Max Blue, kind of
friend of the show,
spoiled it on on his own personal Twitter the other day. And if it is in fact Verizon, I think it's really good because they also do the webcast for the AHL, and I believe a full package was like $100 for the AHL, which I mean I can afford that. If I can't go to games, I have no problem paying $100 for a full season.
No,
if that's going to get me every game in the queue, not just the Moncton games, I'll pay $100 for that. Compared to what was it, $300?
Something silly like that. Like the road package itself last year was $80, unless you were a season ticket holder and got a coupon. So already there, you're winning. And Verizon's probably, I would guess, has more money than New Leon to put some money into the infrastructure to make it look like. I know during the playoffs I watched a few WHL games, and the webcasting was just, I don't know who does their webcasting, but just the level of quality was so much better than what we were dealing with. But
so if it is in fact Verizon, it's really good news. And you know, you got to get a big company like that, especially if there's not going to be fans or not a lot of fans in the building. You're going to want a high quality webcast for that reason. And man, I feel bad for those teams in Quebec. I don't understand why these teams in Quebec can't have fans, but their midget AAA season started, I think, a couple nights ago, and fans and scouts can go to those games. So why, and it's smaller rinks, and I just don't get it. I don't understand why, you know, you can allow fans and scouts into a 800 seat midget AAA rink, but you can't let fans into a 12,000 seat Videotron Center in Quebec City, or a 6,000 seat stadium in Rimouski, or I'm not going to go over in
every stadium,
right? But it doesn't make sense to me.
Or those same fans can go for dinner,
yeah,
at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's I that part I didn't understand. I don't think it's fair. You know, so these Quebec teams have had some season ticket holders are probably been with them for 30 years, right? And suddenly they're not allowed to go watch their team that they've cheered for 3 decades. Just a little ridiculous. I hope they can, and look, I understand they're hit a little hard. Yep. They're hit worse than we are here. But the whole province of Quebec only had 45 cases today. That's, you know.
And some of these season ticket holders that have been going for 30 years, probably going to wear a mask and to watch their team. Like, they're going to respect whatever protocols you put in. Like, put me in a hazmat suit. I don't give a rip what you tell me I have to do to get into the atmosphere.
I would literally wear a hazmat suit. Yeah. I don't care if I'm wearing a mask.
Yeah, I don't care.
Right? Like, I will wear a mask to go into the building. I'll wear a mask around the mezzanine. I'll wear a mask to take a piss. Sorry. Yeah, whatever. But
well, I hope so.
I don't even mind wearing a mask when I'm sitting down. But the fact that they're going to allow us to take it off is even better. I just really feel bad for these fans in Quebec. And I really don't get it. It just comes back to the whole midget AAA thing.
So how are they? How's the season going on? Because it's fan-driven revenue. How are they going to... Without fans,
apparently the Quebec teams will be getting some financial assistance from the Quebec government to offset, you know, not having fans in the building. But that's talks. I don't know if that's confirmed or not. But that's the only way I can see some of these teams surviving.
And even that, like a few times during this. Mr. Coteau was asked if all 18 teams will come back. They have. But, man, if you're just getting financial assistance instead of gate revenue, it'll be tough for...
See, that's the one thing I'm going to take away from this whole thing is just how bad I feel for these Quebec fans who have been, you know, loyal
yeah.
to their teams for years. Like, you look at, you know, our friend in Gatineau, Martin Lahaye, like... He's a super fan. Like, I don't think he's missed a game in, like, God, I don't even know how old he is. But, you know, for someone like him to not be able to go to these games is, I think it's unfair.
Yeah.
And I think for the Q to have profiled super fans from each organization in the off season, only to turn around to tell these people, sorry, you can't go to the games.
It's pretty tough.
Like,
pretty tough for everyone in Gatineau as well. Who doesn't even have a building.
They don't even have a building, and like, I really hope they can figure something out because, I would hate for those teams to and their fans to not be able to watch hockey live for an entire season. I just hope that, you know, first half okay, fine, no fans, but second half. You know, as long as there's no second wave, let him into the building.
Yeah.
Like,
half season tickets. Because that guy, that family that's been doing it for 30 years, buying 4 tickets for their family, or what, 2 tickets, I guess. Mm-hmm. If they can't go to games, they're going to watch them on TV, and why would they spend the money next year when some of this is gone and we can have full buildings again, right? Like, what's the incentive to come back? Like, it's, you know.
When I heard that, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm just hearing it now. I kind of heard some rumblings, but I didn't know about the financial assistance part.
Yeah, it's. I understand their situation is worse than it is here, but I mean, you look at population of the entire province of Quebec. I don't know what it is, but like if you have, this is only a guess, but. Okay, never mind. I'm going to do some research here. Here we go. Quebec population.
While he's doing some research, basically what he's saying is if you're thinking about getting season tickets to the Wildcats, you should probably get them.
Yeah.
So you can watch hockey.
Basically
going to
be gold.
2/3 of the league won't be able to watch hockey this season live. So, and not even Moncton. If you're in the Maritimes trying to decide if you're going to get season tickets, there's 2/3 of the league that won't be allowed. So, you know.
So the population in Quebec, we'll say 8.5 million.
Yeah.
And they had 46 cases today. 0.0000542% of the province.
And that is math brought to you by Jeremy Boucher. That's ridiculous that they can't go in there.
I don't, like, that's the one part I don't understand. I don't know if they're forecasting worse numbers, but for the love of God, like, you can do your contact tracings. You can socially distance. You can, you know, a 3,000 seat arena in Shawinigan. I don't know how many season ticket holders they have in Shawinigan. Maybe 1,000.
Sure, let's
go
1,200.
Pretty. I know they're a passionate group. That's 33%.
You can't social distance that?
Separate them, right? Yeah. Like, do they have bubbles in Quebec? Yes, they do. Like, every province has bubbles right now in Canada. You can have the bubble concept with hockey players or hockey games. Like, do you go to the game with family member? Do you go to this game with a coworker? Do you go to the game by yourself? Like, you can lay out arenas, you know, to ensure that your fans, your loyal fans, get to watch these games. You know, the ones who go to the games periodically, you know, sure, you can pay $100 for the entire season, mm-hmm. or you can pay whatever. I just the loyal fans that really, I feel bad for them. Like, really feel bad for them. You know, I just can't imagine a 12,000 seat arena in Quebec City just being empty, right?
And as bad as you're going to feel for the fans, those kids, man.
Yep.
They're going to play 60 games with no fans.
Yeah. Like, you can't even bring your family to a game.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I think that's just,
hopefully they figure it out by in the 2021 year. Like, sure, no fans for 2020. That's fine. But 2021, put some fans. Because, man, that's not only bad for the fans, that's tough for the kids. To have to play 60 games with literally nobody. We're seeing it in the NHL. It's a little different to watch, but, you know, these are kids. They're going to feed, especially junior hockey, feeds off crowd emotion all the time. So that's really kind of all we got for the preseason and camp right now until we have a full roster. But this brings us to everyone's favorite time of the show.
Eric Murray Realty. Buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
So this is kind of like a summer stick tap. So like Adam said earlier in the show, I've been a lot of places, a lot of different provinces. So the one place that I really enjoyed visiting this entire summer is St. Andrews by the Sea, New Brunswick. If you've never been there, I highly recommend you go. I had the chance to go, I think it was a week or two before the whole Atlantic bubble. So it wasn't busy, but it's actually like they're getting, you know, their hotel accommodations or numbers have looked really good. And it's just an absolute hidden gem. You know, we had a chance to, we went to an aquarium. What else?
Did you golf?
No, I didn't golf. No. Walked past the golf course. Like where we were staying. We stayed at this, it's called the St. Andrews Inn and Suites. It overlooks the water, and we had like a private balcony in the back of the room, back of the hotel, and you could kind of look over to your right and see that hole where it's like literally a slope. And I remember it being on, it was, that hole was actually featured on the Amazing Race Canada. It was like a face off, the whoever teed off and got the ball the furthest, you know, kind of advanced or whatever. So
that's cool.
But yeah, St. Andrews by the Sea is just a, you know, an amazing, amazing town. And so if you haven't had a chance to go, I highly recommend you. And you know, it's summer's starting to calm down, so I don't think it's going to be as busy. So, you know, take advantage of, you know, the time that you have off, if you still do, or a weekend, before, you know, puck drop. And, you know, and plus, as New Brunswickers, let me talk about that rebate. You know, 20, I think it's 20%, up to a maximum of $1,000. You know, that's hotel accommodations, meals, whatever you want to do. So it's an extra, you know, extra benefit for New Brunswickers to go check out a part of the province that you may or may not have already seen.
What was that, like 2 hours?
It was a quick drive. It was like two and a half hours. A little past, I shouldn't say a little past St. John, but, you know, the southwestern part of the province is super, super nice.
Awesome.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
Well, that was a good way to kick this thing off, eh?
I got worms.
That's what we'll call it. That'll do it for our season premiere. It was fun to be back talking hockey with you, bro. A little bit back of normal to the summer. We usually kick this thing off in August. I don't know what the season's going to look like for our show. It'll be pretty tough talking about the same six teams every week. So we may go a couple weeks before we come back. We may bring in other teams, kind of do a view from the other side, you know, highlighting other players on other teams, just kind of, you know, turning this into a Wildcats little bit Maritime division, because, well, we're going to have 60 games facing the same team. It's going to be tough talking about them over and over again. So stick with us all year. We will be back next Wednesday. We may have a special guest. We're going to get into our, hopefully we'll have an official roster too. But we're going to get into our preview of Maritime teams. So, that's it for us. See you guys next Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.